to see my mom for Thanksgiving, and I'm on the way back. All the cars that are just loaded with stuff on the top, and there was this bright colored suitcase on the side of the road that I'm pretty sure was someone's wife's suitcase, because guys don't, I'm judging here, but most guys don't have a suitcase that color, and I'm thinking that's going to be one sad arrival wherever they're heading. I love Christmas. I have ever since I became a Christian. Everything changed dramatically for me, and I'm not alone in it. There is a survey that was taken recently. Now, here's the disclaimer. Motel 6 commissioned this survey, and you'll see a few themes in here that probably are, well, you understand they had a dog in the hunt. They surveyed 2,000 Americans. This is what they came up with. The respondents said that the ones that are traveling, that they plan to spend 3.5 days with family and friends during the holidays. They're heading out. We got more people traveling this year than we have in maybe in all of our American history. Gas is cheap, all that kind of thing. So 3.5 days they're going to be spending with family and friends. But they also said, this same group said, that after 3 hours and 54 minutes, they're pretty well maxed out on visiting. Now, I don't know how they came up with the 54 minutes. That seems, just shy of 4 hours, but they're going to be with them 3.5 days. So the math on this is a little disturbing. 40% agreed that their main problem was accommodations, like where you're going to sleep and all this kind of stuff. And again, Motel 6 put this together. An average of 2 people, it said, are going to ultimately sleep in some place that is not designed for sleeping. It could be a couch. It could be one of those mattresses that you blow up and it's flat in the morning. This is a problem. 22% said that they were anxious about a lack of privacy. Well, that makes a lot of sense. 20% fretted that family members eventually will, quote, get on their nerves. That doesn't ever happen. They said 19% worried that their presence would be imposing in the first place. I don't think that's really true. I have not noticed that many people are worried about imposing if they come anyway, but that's another different survey. 18% hoped that the house wouldn't be, quote, too loud or busy. So there are issues here, and again, the answer to this is what? Motel 6. 75% said that they'd likely hit a breaking point while they were there and need to escape the larger group. They go through some creative ways people do that. I'm not going to give you any ideas, but apparently that is, in fact, some people, 25%, they have actually hidden somewhere in the house so no one would know where they were. Usually that involves the bathroom and the fan. And then it said, with all that data, and it sounds kind of discouraging, really. It says that 95% of them said it wouldn't be the holidays without being with their friends and families. It's worth it. It takes 12 months to forget what the last one was like so that you can go and do it. This thing about expectations, though, is it's pretty common to all of us. The word expectation, it literally means just to look forward to something. And we all have these things. I mean, we have, we're expecting for the holidays, we're going to have fun. We're going to, there'll be some happy time with friends and families. There'll be gift giving and receiving, depending on your bent, one way or the other. There's shopping. Some people really enjoy that. There's meals, parties, guests, time off work and school. Enjoy having a chance to recharge and hopefully building some good memories. This is kind of normal. I mean, this is what many people enter into it. This is what all the commercials are about. And when expectations are handled well, there's nothing wrong with having them, and when they're handled well, they really do fuel hope and can bring positive outcomes. I mean, if you have good expectations, you handle them well, it can really create something that wouldn't have been there otherwise. You and I were designed by God to have desires for things that we don't currently have. We're different than amoebas and poodles and trees. We have this sense in within us, there's some things we think are really valuable and important. We want to connect with others. We want to enjoy them. We want it to be mutual. We want to care about each other. And so this is a good, healthy kind of thing. The problem is when expectations are handled poorly, they feel disappointment, frustration, and hurt. And if we're not careful, our expectations, and all of us have them, our expectations are going to morph into demands. And those demands create all kind of problems, both for those around us. We even have demands on God. He's got to come through a certain way for us. And if he doesn't, if they don't, it's frustration, anger, fear, anxiety, all kind of stuff gets stirred up. So I'm trying to think of a way to illustrate this. And so there's a there's several classic Christmas. What are some of the classic Christmas movies? Just throw out a few names. Christmas Story. What else? Elf. A Wonderful Life. Christmas Vacation. Yeah, that's the one I'm using because I wanted to go with one of the real classics. So anyway, I'm going to show you two. This is Clark Griswold. He starts the holiday off with great expectations. He's got a bonus that's supposed to be coming. He's even invited all this family that he's got issues with, and they have issues with him, but he's just sure this year's going to be different. These are just two scenes. Now, let me just say, I'm not endorsing the movie. It's got some really crude language and stuff in it. I can't do that. I found two clips that doesn't have any of that, which is a little hard to do, but it's nevertheless a funny movie. Let's watch these two.
Save the neck for me, Clark.
Okay, Eddie.
Look at that.
Sorry.
Why are you crying?
I told you we put it in too early.
Oh, it's just a little dry. It's fine.
I told you.
And ran back into the tree.
It might make you feel better about some of your holidays. I remember once, I don't think my sister's here. No, she's not. So we were at her house. She and her husband were hosting. We were having a family get together. We're going to have this big meal. And my sister has a real soft spot in her heart for dogs that have real serious emotional issues. She has actually one of her dogs now takes the maximum adult dosage of Prozac. I'm not making this up. It's not working, but they're trying everything she can. So she adopts dogs that have been abused, and I really appreciate her heart in that. This one dog had not really been used to being indoors or fed regularly, so we're getting ready to have the meal. I think we had just prayed, walked into the kitchen, because you're going to go in, and her dog has his paws up on the counter, is gnawing on the turkey, which we just wiped off and ate anyway because it wasn't too dry. Anyway, expectations are this thing that we've got to really be careful with. And what I want to do today is this is very simple. This is something I learned from a guy named Dr. Larry Crabb, and it revolutionized for me managing expectations. The thing is how we approach events like this, and there's some that are big ticket, some are small ticket. But how we approach really does matter. It's a matter of perspective. If you've been in our lay counseling classes or if you've done any of that, you've seen this, and it literally has changed everything for me. And what it does is it's dividing expectations into two categories, goals and desires. And here's the definitions we use. Goal. A goal is something that I want where I control the outcome. A desire is something that I hope for, but I can't control the outcome. This is really important to distinguish. I'll give you something that happened recently. We had our Christmas market here yesterday, and I wanted to donate 22 loaves of bread. That's the only thing I cook, and something I've learned from my mom, and I've carried this family tradition. So I wanted to donate 22 loaves of bread. I wanted to have them here at 9 o'clock Saturday, yesterday morning. And I wanted several things about this. I wanted them to be sold. I don't know if they were or not. They might be out in the dumpster for all I know. And I wanted people that get it to enjoy it. I also wanted to be able to commandeer the kitchen at our home and refrigerator for 3 days so I could do all this cooking. So here's how it boils down. I had expectations. Here's me. I've been on a diet, apparently. And my expectations are over here. So one is, I want to make 22 loaves of bread. Is that a goal or a desire? Goal, because I can control it. Complete control over whether that bread gets made or not. I want to have them here by 9 a.m. Saturday morning. What is that? That's a goal, too. I want to commandeer the kitchen for 3 days and the refrigerator. Yeah. Because that requires my bride cooperating with me. And the thing is when anything that you have where someone else holds some sway over it, if I have a goal, my goal is I'm going to do it, and they get in the way, now I've got this. Major friction. Because she may have an entirely different goal. How about I wanted all the bread to be sold. Goal or desire? Desire. Because I don't control unless I buy it all. Now, I could. I could buy all those, but I couldn't afford it. How about people to enjoy the bread? That's a desire. I have no control. I mean, they might say, what a waste of gluten. The thing is understanding the difference between goals and desires is really, really important for you and me. If I get confused with it, what happens is I create all kind of problems. So answer this. What are some expectations people have for the holidays? It could be yours if you don't want to admit it to yourself, and you say, one of my friends. Expectations you have during the holidays. Throw some out. Getting everything people want. Why do you want to do that? Or why do people want to do that? Okay, you want to make people happy. Is that a good goal or a desire? It's a desire. Now, the moment your goal is to make everyone happy, get out the Advil. Because everyone has a different sense of what's going to make them happy. What else? Say that really quick again. Seeing your favorite Christmas movie. Goal or desire? It could be one or the other. If it's your TV and your Netflix, goal. Somebody else's and you're requiring they watch it with you, that's a desire. What else? Budget. Goal or desire? To live within a budget. Maybe. What if you're not the only one on the checking account or the credit account? What if you're having to cooperate because if you're a single adult, it's your money, yes. If you're sharing it with someone else, you're going to have to do some discussing. And this is where it's good to have the desires, but you're going to have to talk about these things, because here's what happens is if I have a goal and it's going to require, well, this is just not working. My goal was that this marker. So all of a sudden, I've got these people involved. If they don't have the exact same goal, I'm going to be in trouble. So on the budget, maybe this person thinks, well, we ought to spend $500 per person. Everyone wants to be in that family. But the other person says, I think we ought to just do charitable gifts of $5 for each person. So you've got a conflict here. What else? Expectations for the holidays. To have them with you? Okay, to visit your adult kids and their family. That is not a good goal. For multiple reasons that I won't get into, but because they might have other family that want to see them. Becky and I used to have this. We had family that lived in Richmond, Virginia, and family in Charlotte. And they wanted to see us all Christmas. There's several hundred miles between them. So, good desire, and we had to discuss it and kind of figure out, so what's going to work, and we do well in advance. Desires are something that are fine to have, but you need to negotiate that. You need to talk about it, because everyone has their own list of desires. If they have hardened into goals, it becomes demands. And now what you have are really bad memories, hurt feelings, disappointment, and all that. One more.
To lose weight after eating your bread.
Goal or desire? That's a goal. You know, no one can stop you from going on a diet except you. How about this one? I just want to have a break during the holidays. So when I was in college, and then actually after Becky and I got married, my idea of the perfect holiday was to go home wherever my parents were and just veg out for 2 weeks. I didn't have to shave, hardly had to shower, wear the same clothes, didn't have to do anything I didn't want to do. That was my goal. I was consistently frustrated. No one else had that goal for me. In fact, my mom, and I love my mom to death, but my mom had a very different goal that conflicted with mine. Her goal was, when Rusty comes home, we're going to go visit people. Some of them I knew, some of them I didn't know. And she had that goal for me because my dad didn't want to go visit people. And she was so proud of me because I wasn't the rebellious, fill in the blank, that I had been before. She was so happy to have me as her son now, and she wanted to go show me off to all her friends. That was her goal. We just continued to do this. My desire and goal, I just wanted to hang out. I just wanted to not do anything. And Mom, let's go visit Aunt Edna. Let's go visit the, I mean, it was constant. And there was a time when this whole idea of goals and desires shifted my thinking. Because I started thinking I dread going home. And then I thought, you know, it's because I'm selfish. I've got my own agenda. And it doesn't mean that some of those things I desire are wrong. It just means that there's a conflict here. What are we going to do? Whenever you have more than one person, you're going to have some conflicts of these goals and desires, expectations. So it was a radical thing, but I decided when I go home to see Mom and Dad, I'm going to treat it like going on a mission trip. I'm going to find out what do they want? What would they like to have? I'm going to make their goals something that I'm going to try to help fulfill. I'm not being a martyr here. But I've decided I'm not going to change Mom wanting to show me off to all her friends, but I can say, Mom, when I come home, I'll go see some of your buddies, but I'd really love to have some time to go run or play golf or do something fun. And by communicating that up front, the desire, we began negotiating and working it out. And here's the other thing, is it changed my heart from being utterly self-centered to thinking about what others want. Because, you know, Jesus said this in Matthew 7:12. This is free, it's not in your notes. He said, treat others the way you want to be treated. So I started another pattern. I had learned this from my dad as a kid. I just started adopting it. I call him well in advance to say, when I come home, any chores that you have, let me know. We'll work on getting some things done around the house. It could be yard work, could be a variety of other things. You just let me know and we'll do it. I was never disappointed about that. There were always things they wanted done. And I just got used to taking work clothes home when I went. And after a while, my heart kind of changed about this. I was less frustrated because I had change my goals that kept getting blocked into desires that I hoped for. I could communicate about them, but I didn't get wrapped around the axle like I had been. The Bible gives you and me, God wants you and I to understand how to handle these goals and desires, our expectations well. So that's what we're going to do this next part. In your take-home sheet, you can get that outside of either one of the doors when you leave. It'll help you detail this even further. Listen to this. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, so our goal is to please him. I mean, there's a goal I can adopt to please God in whatever circumstance I'm in. No one can stop me from that except me. If I make it my goal that no matter what happens, I'm gonna do my best to honor and please God with whatever circumstance I'm in, there is nobody and no thing that can stop me from that. And that means I can treat others with respect. I can treat them kindly. I can show love to them. I can care for them. Because that's a way of me honoring God. Now, if I'm doing it so they'll appreciate and like me and all this kind of stuff, now I'm set up because they can get in the way of that. They may not like my bread. They may not like the present I get them. But if my goal is to please God, that is a really, really good one. I can choose to have words and attitudes and actions that I can understand really do honor him, and I will have his pleasure. Listen to what it says in Psalm 37. It says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Here's the thing on this, is when I begin delighting in God means that I value him as my top priority in my life, and I'm shifting my heart toward him. I'm going to start seeing others the way God does. I'm going to see circumstances the way God does. I'm going to see obstacles the way God does. And when I do, it says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. That means he's going to, if I'm aligned with him, there is nothing that will get in the way of me having everything God wants me to have. And there's a lot that he wants us to have. He wants us to understand love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. The only thing that stands in the way of me experiencing that is me. The moment, and if you catch yourself ever looking at someone and say, you make me so mad, I'm going to tell you right now, you just lied. They gave you an opportunity to get mad. They created a target-rich environment for anger. But you have to make the choice. Otherwise, we're victims. And other people own us. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. Some of you are in environments and family situations that are not healthy and not good. They're difficult. There's pain. There's past memories that you've got and things like this. I'm going to tell you, delight yourself in God. Focus your attention on him. Make it the goal that you're going to please him, and he will walk you through it. And it may take some time where you're going to have to speak up with courage. It may be sometimes when you're going to say no because you know what honors God and you're going to upset some other people. That's okay. If your goal is to please him, no one, no thing can get in the way of it. And he is ready to give you his full support throughout. Philippians 2, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. It's an interesting thing when you and I shift our goals to please God, recognizing we have desires. I want to be loved and respected and appreciated and all that. Those are great desires, but the moment I make those goals, then I begin to be someone that no one really wants to spend much time with. Because I'm demanding they come through for me a certain way. When I shifted and started looking at my trips home in a different light, where what can I do to serve mom and dad? I'm not, and again, not being a martyr. There are times when if I needed some break time, if I needed to relax, I can work that out. I can carve that out other times or express that up front. And mom and dad were not ogres or anything. It's just that we just needed to talk about these things. Something shifted And it began to be where I would call them in advance and say, are you making the list of things you want me to do? I did not just holidays, but just a list of things. It was almost always little things. You know, it could be yard work and all. It could be climbing into the house, check pipes. It was a lot of times there were electrical things that we needed to do, replacing bulbs or fixtures or that kind of thing. I didn't realize how much that had affected me until this past Thursday. Thursday's my study day. I usually stay at home and I'm working on things. I took a break, went to Home Depot to pick up some stuff, and I was walking through the electric aisle and started weeping like a baby. Because I remembered hundreds of times going to Home Depot with my dad. We'd leave the house, we'd have a list to go through and pick up whatever we needed. We always go back again because we left something off the list. I have so many memories of being at Home Depot. The one down near them, we used to, often we'd buy a hot dog when we left. There was a vendor right outside. Had God not challenged me and I hadn't changed my goal, I wouldn't have those memories. And it's not a memory, it's not a sad thing of what I missed. I miss him, but I'm so grateful that we had that time. God wants you and me, if we delight in him, if we make pleasing him our goal, we are going to be utterly surprised by not only what he does through us to help others, but what he does in and to us. We are innately self-centered. The reason we needed a Savior is because of our self-interest leading us away from God. And once we come to him, once we commit our lives and accept what God did in sending Jesus to pay the penalty for our sin, he is recreating us. We still have to fight this tendency towards self-centeredness. I want what I want, my expectations, my goals, my desires, and to shift that to where now I'm gonna do my best to please God because he's promised if I make that my goal, he will cover all of my needs. And he will never, ever rip me off. So as the holidays come, I don't know what your plans are. But I do know this, that if you commit your way and your heart and yourself to follow him, he will do some surprising things both in and through you and me. So here are two passages I want to read as fuel for us to pray both today during this service and then as the holidays unfold. Listen to this one. Create in me a new clean heart, O God, filled with clean thoughts and right desires. In other words, God, here I am in front of you. I'm asking you to take me and reshape me to be your person on the scene wherever I happen to be. Help me to have the right kind of desires and the right kind of the things I should be interested in. And God, where there's a battle, help me to tap out to you. And I'm trusting you to take care of me. I'm trusting you to meet my needs. I promise you, when you and I make this our prayer and we're genuine about it, we have God's undivided attention. Listen to Philippians 4. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. This includes our expectations. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So here's the invitation today, to take our expectations and lay them before our Father. Delineating, so what are my goals? What are my desires? Where are they in line? Where are they out of bounds? Where are they off kilter? Where am I putting demands on others to come through for me? Where is my bitterness? Where is my frustration impacting me and those around me? What is robbing me of the peace God promises me? And what can I do to reclaim it? What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. In fact, I'd like everyone to stand. We're going to pray together. And then for these next two songs, if you would like someone to pray with you, and I'm telling you that there's not any magic in this, but when you and I decide that I'm gonna take a stand here, I'm gonna do something about this. When you verbalize that, when you ask someone else to join you in prayer, it helps solidify the decision. So there's a group of us. Some of us will be here on the steps. Some of us will be on the side. Those of us on a prayer team or staff. And I really ask that you would consider making this a moment for these next 8 or 10 minutes between you and God. God, you sort through my heart. Help me to have the kind of thoughts that honor you. And the ones that are out of bounds, help me to deal with them. Maybe they've been firm patterns all my life. Help me to change today. Let's pray. God, for this next short period of time, please help us to give you our undivided attention. Not worry about what others may or may not do, but to be concerned right now about us having a clean and good heart before you. There may be some here that have not accepted you yet, that are they've been toying with this idea, but haven't surrendered. And I pray that today they will. And that all of us will decide that we're gonna have a tight rein on our expectations. And rather than just continuing the patterns that we've had, we're going to make some changes and we're going to allow you to lead and guide us. Please speak to us and help us to respond well to you in Christ's name. Amen.